Technologies Division at the International Telecommunication Union. Pritam, please.
Thank you, Dario, and thanks to UNEC for this invitation to speak. For some of you who may not have probably heard of the ITU, the International Telecommunication Union, we are the oldest UN agency. We are around 158 years old. We are headquartered right across the palais. There are three buildings. And we are the specialized UN agency for digital matters. So let me start by congratulating UNEC and the University of Zurich team for this fantastic demo. I understand it's a prototype, and I look forward to experimenting with it further as the prototype matures. And let me be clear at the onset that this is not my topic of expertise as an energy resilience. Of course, there are other experts at the ITU that look at the intersection of energy, climate change, and technology. I'm not one of them, but if you are interested in learning more, I'd be happy to put you in touch. But I know a little bit about AI, and I will speak in that capacity, primarily about the platform. So, and I'll try to make it personal, a little bit personal at least. So a bit of a background about me, before I joined the ITU, this was in 2008, I spent about 15 years as an engineer working in, I was trained as an engineer. I worked at some of the top AI labs across the world, AT&T Research, IBM Research, I come from India, so there's the Indian Institute of Science and the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research. Many, I built prototypes for a small company that did US government work. In all these cases, we built natural language processing products. And at that time, we were quite obsessed as engineers, as scientists, with our systems passing the Turing test. In simple words, a Turing test for an AI scientist is, it's named after Alan Turing, who was a very famous computational scientist from the UK. A Turing test in simple words is, you interact with a machine through a series of Q&A, and the test is to find out how much time does it take for you before you know you're interacting with a machine and not a real human being. And, we created all sorts of systems. Those were really basic systems, And from that to this quite amazing piece of software, generative AI, it's mind-boggling. Honestly, it's a beautiful piece of code. The engineer part of me is quite fascinated with what we have right now. But then in 2008, I also got a second degree in public policy. I joined the ITU. I'm the head of the Emerging Technologies Division here, and I got into the policy part of the world. And I also co-chair the UN Interagency Working Group on AI with UNESCO, where we have about 40 UN agencies as members. And we look at not only AI, but also the impact that AI has across the system. And this is where, and I look at the opportunities, but also the challenges brought about by AI. And there are many, many challenges, especially when it comes to generative AI. I can list some of them. The fact that the digital divide could significantly increase because of this, because there are many countries that don't have access to this technology, and there's lack of skills that are needed across the world to use this, especially in least developed countries and developing countries. We are also worried about the lack of accountability, lack of transparency that that's involved in the decision making in some of these systems. And it's primarily because of the inherent black box nature of these technologies. We are worried about the biases that might be introduced, biases through the training data that's used, also the biases that are inherent in some of these models. This is something that worries us. We are worried about misinformation that could be generated and spread by technologies that use generative AI or AI in general. So that's why, if you're using generative AI like ChatGPT, like Bard for, creating responses to emails or, improving a speech that you're writing for your boss, that's absolutely fine because you're in the loop and you know, and you won't, the system itself won't cause any significant damage because of that. But then if you're building a system which you know, people around the world are using for policy guidance, then that might be a system that could impact lives of millions of people. So you need to be sure that you have the right guardrails in place. And that's always my advice when you know, somebody is embarking on an ambitious effort. And this is where, you know, our organization can help, ITU can help. We have the AI for Good initiative, which is essentially the largest platform of the UN on AI. And we have access to thousands of experts. And we have regular conversations on generative AI. You know, in fact, tomorrow we have this workshop on the legal and ethical impacts of generative AI and how to also mitigate them. We have many resources that are available. Not only this, you know, under the interagency working group on AI, with you, which UNEC is, of course, a valuable partner, we exchange best practices that are created by different UN agencies on generative AI, on the use of generative AI, so that, you know, the others can benefit from it. And we'd be very happy to work with, you know, the University of Zurich and also UNEC on refining this effort further, because this is a very, very important effort. I was talking to the professor outside in the corridor before the session started, because if we get it right, you know, a repository of resilient energy products, you know, systems, this could be replicated in many other domains that the UN is working on. You know, that makes information accessible to people across the world. You know, it could be replicated in health and finance and education and many, so many different areas, you know, taking into account the leveraging the rich resources that the UN has that we can put online. And that's why, you know, we really want to support you to get this right. So good luck with this. And again, thank you for the invitation.